Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Are you ready? Ryan's ready to rock and roll. Who's ready? Are you ready? Who's excited? Who's ready to engage in some word? Come on. All right, we're going to talk about being outstanding. Who wants to be outstanding? We're talking about outstanding. I'm going to set you up this year to do outstanding. What? Hey, what was that? Let me see that. What was that? Oh, my goodness. That dog is getting into everything. Okay, you can move on. You can pass on that one. Give me another slide. Outstanding. Outstanding. We don't even have him yet. Look, he's even getting into, my PowerPoints. He's going to eat Cheryl's Doc Martens. I know it. I'm telling you. Pray for us. It should be an interesting year. Outstanding. Outstanding. Looked it up in the dictionary. It says standing out among others as of its kind, prominent, distinguished, extremely good or excellent, easy to notice, especially because of being important or very good. Amen. How many want to be average? How many just want to blend in? You know, God doesn't want you to blend in. Literally, God says that you are the salt of the earth. Hello. You are not a salt, not a, you are the salt. I mean, you are the thing that brings flavor. You are the one that brings vibrancy and excitement to the earth. You are the one that blesses it, seasons it, preserves it. You are the salt of the earth. And then Jesus said, you are the light of the world, the light. I mean, trust me, folks, you should be outstanding in every way. You should be over and above. You should be overshining and manifesting the goodness of God. Believers are always the cream. It always rises to the top. In 2014, I want to prepare you to be outstanding in every way. Come on, turn to your neighbor, shout at them, say, you are outstanding. I love some football. I'll be watching some more football today. I have enjoyed myself this season. The football has been good. Some of my teams win, some lose. But now here's a fella, and I've shown you this guy before, but I was kind of reminded of him again because I wondered how he felt this year because the Bears got knocked out. But this guy's name is Glenn Timmerman. And Glenn Timmerman, you can actually go to that website, www.biggestbearfan.com. And he has a whole website. It's his website. Glenn Timmerman is the biggest Bear fan of all. And there's Glenn. There's a whole bunch of Bear players. He went to this Bear player thing where they're signing autographs for people. And he got the Bear. He has 140 Chicago Bears, past and present, who have signed his body. So he gets a marker, they sign his body, and then he goes to a tattoo artist, and he has the signature tattooed forever in his body. He now has 140 Bears tattooed, their signatures tattooed to his body. How many think that's outstanding? I mean, man, that is a fellow who is committed. I mean, he is all in. Let me show you another one. There's his leg. He's got a full Bear tat on his leg. There's some more signatures, and he's got the Bear logo tattooed on the back of his head. How many think he's outstanding? How many think if you went to the beach, you would say, he is outstanding? I mean, he is manifesting beyond other people here. This fella is looking different. How many think he would get a few looks? I mean, this fella, everywhere he goes, trust me, you're in the subway, you walk in, the guy turns around, you see this big bear logo, I mean, this guy is speaking, he is saying something. Every day, his life is declaring something. Now, you can go down his street, and you can go to his house. Now, look at his house. That's his front lawn. I mean, this guy has literally every aspect of his life has completely been invaded by the Chicago Bears. I mean, he lives, he breathes, everything. I mean, I could show you pictures inside his house. His house is just a museum to the Chicago Bears. He's got season tickets. He's got an end zone dance. He's got everything going on. And he is the biggest Bear fan. And this guy is an outstanding Bear fan. Sad thing is, though, that he may have a end zone dance, but he'll never score a touchdown. But anyways, but he's got a dance. You know, we don't want to be fans of Jesus, do we? But what if we lived a life so marked? I mean, we're so wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus so consumed our lives that my goodness. I mean, some people, well, I don't want to be an obnoxious Christian. Why don't you just be a Christian, for goodness sake? A lot of people, you know, like, I don't think you should be in people's faces or anything, you know. I think you should just kind of live your life. Yeah, but you know what? A Christian should be outstanding. You should be able to recognize viva la différence. There's a little French for you right there. Did you see that? That was awesome. It's a bilingual service. Wow. It could have been several languages there. There could have been some. I put a bunch of languages in there right there. Just say thank you. That was awesome, Pastor. That was good. Outstanding. Every one of us should be outstanding. So here's another picture. Here it comes right now. Galatians 6, verse 17. I love this. And sometimes as a pastor, it's a neat verse. But here's Paul. He's finishing up his whole message to the Galatian church. He's wrapping up his book to the Galatians. And then he's like, from now on, let no one trouble me. From now on, don't bug me. From now on, don't annoy me, don't frustrate me, don't drag me back into these stupid discussions. I'm not going through this again with you. Do you understand? From now on, let no one trouble me. He said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we should all go get some tattoos, but you know, how many know that that guy's pretty committed? He's pretty serious about his tattoos. I mean, some people get a tattoo, say, I like tattoos, and they got some little one hidden somewhere. And this guy's totally in. I mean, he's fully in. You see, here's Paul saying, I'm marked. I've been marked. There are signs. There is evidence in my life that I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I bear the marks. Don't bug me. I bear the marks. Do you bear the marks? I mean, is there evidence? Is there something manifesting? Like every day when you go through life, I mean, it's obvious that guy's a Bear fan. Is it obvious that you are a passionate, ridiculous believer? Is it obvious that you serve a risen, victorious King? Is it obvious that his victory is overflowing the banks of your life? Is it obvious that all the yes and amens in the scripture are an expression in your life? Is it obvious? I mean, you just got to shout out, Jesus, tattoo me. Slap me with more of you. I want the evidence to be so very, very clear that literally every single person I come in contact with will experience the passion that I have for Jesus, that you are the one I serve, you alone, and it's evident in my life. I mean, let's get over, I don't want to be obnoxious. You know what? The world could use a little more obnoxious. The world could use a little bit more of people who are out there for Jesus and actually manifesting what's going on. Now, being out there for Jesus should be that you're doing everything with excellence. It should be that there's evidence of his glory and victory in your life. So come on, let's manifest a little bit of God in 2014. You don't even amen with passion. I mean, my God. You probably don't even sin with passion. I want to see some outstanding stuff. I want this to be an outstanding year. I'm going to engage this year. I'm going to give everything I've got. It says, don't never be lacking in passion in your service for the Lord. Never, never. God says when you serve me, it should be joyfully and it should be passionate. And you know, she'd never, never, ever have an experience where we're not passionate. Now, I want to show you a picture of another lady here. There's a lady. That's my Aunt Dawn. That's my Aunt Dawn right there. And on Friday, we had her celebration service, and she stepped into the cloud of witnesses, and she's there with the rest of my family having a blast. She's actually watching the service right now. I'm her favorite preacher. So, you know, my Aunt Dawn was an amazing thing. You know, my Aunt Dawn, her dad died when she was very, very young. She's only, you know, 7 or 8 years old, and her dad died. And then she came with her family over to Canada, emigrated here. And my Nana was a single mom, She was a single mom with three boys and a little girl, and she came over here, and at that time, she couldn't bring her money out of the UK. They wouldn't, they froze all the accounts and everything. And my grandfather had some money, but she couldn't bring it over because all the accounts got frozen. So it was there, but she couldn't bring it. But she said, you know, we're going, we're doing a new thing. We're going to a new country. So they came over and they had to work really hard. My grandmother was an RN back in the UK. And when she came over here, they said they didn't recognize it, but they'd let her be an RNA. And so she did an RNA and she worked nights. She worked hard. She did everything she could for the four kids. And then my grandmother wanted to become an RN. But she had to do a six-month upgrade. Now, my dad, my Uncle Ken, they had married and moved on. And my Aunt Dawn at 15 went and got a full-time job. And for 6 months, she paid all the expenses of their home. She paid all the expenses to take care of the home. She paid the mortgage on the house. She paid the food, paid the hydro. At 15, she paid all of the expenses of the house to get her mother through an upgrade in school. It is awesome. She was totally awesome. You know, and from 15 all the way through, she worked. And every place she worked at, she excelled and went right to the top. We were there 25 years with her last company, and she'd been retired for a while now. But the owner of that company and many of the people from that company came to the funeral. We had over 220 people on Friday afternoon there for a woman who was a widow, a single woman with no children. And yet all these people came, and nobody, I mean, everybody was just so glad to be there and so overwhelmed with a sense of loss because she was so amazing. But, you know, even me, I got asked to do the sermon and speak at my aunt's funeral. And I don't have a single negative experience of my aunt ever. And I mean, I was very involved with her life. In fact, when I was a teenager, an older teenager, I moved in with my aunt and uncle. I got a job in Toronto, moved in with Don and Paul. And they'd had many people live in their home, but they hadn't had one quite like me. And I had a bad weekend one time, and the police brought me home, and my car was impounded, and there was all kinds of substances and things that got confiscated. But anyways, it's a long story. But I was just happy they let me out of jail. It was good. And but my aunt was overwhelmed by that. She couldn't believe that. That just blew her away. So I went down to sleep it off because it was a bit of a messy day. And all of a sudden, a knock on my door. I come upstairs. We've got my parents and my other uncles, people driving in from all over the place. And I mean, there was never the show intervention on TV, but she had one. She was like, this is not happening anymore. And this is going. But you know, my aunt loved everybody, did so many things. But I have the honor of being the only person that she had to kick out of her home. You know, and I really was. I had to go live in my parents' boat. Anyways, but what's amazing is my aunt always believed in me and always loved me. And you know, in the end, there I was. She said, I want you to be speaking at my funeral. And she always loved me, supported me, and was a blessing behind me. And everything she did with excellence. And you know, it was amazing. All the people who came and wanted to talk to me and wanted to thank me. It was just remarkable. I was able to see, wow, that was an outstanding life. That was a life marked by excellence, and that was a life that just meant, you know, I was thinking about Nelson Mandela, what a big funeral, and what he did. It was an amazing life and all those things, but I was thinking about Aunt Dawn, and as I was sharing her sermon, I could feel the eyes of heaven on that place, because, you know, in the context of her life and what she was given to deal with, she was excellent. And where she was put, where she was placed, and the boundaries on her life that were set, she served them with diligence, with purpose, and with power. And she was an amazing woman of God. And you know, so I came out of that, and that's where I am right now. I felt I am challenged by my Aunt Dawn's life. I'm challenged by the life of the Apostle Paul. I am challenged by the claims that God has in my life. You know what? I want to be outstanding. And I want you to be outstanding. And I want you to excel in everything that God has for you. Where he has placed you, I want you to experience his blessing on your life. You could be in a place of adversity. You could be in a place that seems to be restrictive and not have much of a hope or a future. But if you trust God like Paul did, like my Aunt Dawn did, I'm telling you, God will breathe on your life and you can be outstanding and you can be a testimony and bring many lives to the knowledge of the glory of God. Can I get a thank you, Jesus? 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul, he's saying to Timothy in his last book to his beloved son in the ministry, he said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's an interesting thing to know that my time to go is now. It's interesting when here you are writing and knowing this is it, and knowing that I am done, knowing that I got nothing else to give. I'm totally poured out. I mean, earlier on, he said, I could go or I could stay, and right now I choose to stay. But here he says, I am being poured out, it's time for me to go, and my departure is here. And the word that he used is like, it's time to pack up the tent. It's like soldiers who are ready to move to their next destination. And the word used here is, we're going to pack up tents, we're going to pack up the supplies, we're going to move on to a new and a better place. And he knew that his departure was at hand, and he was happy about it. How many know sometimes you're happy to go some places and not so much some others? How many know when you got to go to the dentist and you know you got a problem, it's not really that exciting of a departure when you're going, where are you going to the dentist? But you ask kids, where are you going? Disneyland. Woo! You ask children, where are you going? Disneyland. You know, Disneyland may be fun when you're a kid, but it's not such a joy when you're an adult, at least for me. I mean, I pay lots of money to stand in line with kids and have people screaming and butting in. Not my idea of a good day. Actually, for me, the departure there is when I see the Magic Mountain in the rearview mirror. That's always nice. But you know, here Paul is saying, my departure is at hand, my time to go, and he's happy about it. He wants to go. He wants to leave. He said, I have fought the good fight. Say, good fight. How many of you have ever seen a fight? How many of you have ever been in a fight? I mean, a real fight. I mean, a fight where literally you're getting knuckles are crushing against your cheekbone, where you get your teeth rattled and you come out of that and you know your eyes are going to be closed shut because you are in a serious all-out fight. You know, a lot of people say, I've seen a fight, I might have considered a fight, but when's the last time you actually said somebody crunched the side of your head with a fist? See, this is what Paul's talking about. Paul's saying, I have endured a hand-to-hand, full-on battle. And when the fight that he's talking about here isn't like, you know, it was a bit of a struggle to get through. He's saying, I had full-on conflict, hand-to-hand. I have gone through beatings. And he said, it was a good fight, though. How many know what a good fight is? It's the one you win. Exactly. I remember one of the first fights I had was, how many have had some fights? I say my first fight, I had a few. But anyway, I had two older brothers, so it was life, you know what I mean? You wanted another nacho, that's the way it goes. So I learned when I was little, be the first one to hit. Be the first one to attack. Attack hard, fast, and in very, very vulnerable areas. The throat was good, lots of things. I just learned, you're little, you better take them down fast. So I learned some of that stuff quickly. I learned quick because I had a kid, we had a fight coming out of school. I was in grade 5 and he was only in grade 4. So I was picking on somebody younger than me. But he was bigger. But I thought, he was lipping me on the school ground. I said, buddy, after school, I'm taking you out. So sure enough, we got down the path just out of school. I was waiting there. There he came. I said, boom, we're on. I said, let's tangle. He dropped me. He got on top of me. He mounted me. And he put his hands right around my neck. And he was strangling me. I couldn't even breathe. I was like, ah! I mean, I started crying like a baby. It was crazy stuff. And then my brother said, shake him off, move, bounce, do something. And I'm like, ah! Come on, what's the matter with you? And I mean, they're scared. Oh, you care? He's going to kill me. Finally, they ripped the kid off. I said, get off him. Oh, my God. Then I walked home. They're going, you're disgusting. You're shameful. I can't believe you let that kid get on you. But he's cheating. He was cheating. He started choking me. There's no cheating in a fight. You got to go all out. Go for it. You're not even my brother. That was disgusting. I mean, that was not a good fight. You know, but I learned from there, it's all fair. So let's get her done. And I don't fight anymore, especially with my wife, because you ever seen her knuckles? Oh, my God. So anyways, I'm scared of her. She's not here right now. Amen. But I mean, he's saying, I fought the good fight. I mean, I'm ready to be poured out and I can go because I have fought the good fight. I have won. I have tangled in some difficult areas and I have won. I've gone for it. Then he said, I've finished the race. And the race he's talking about here, he's referring to a race that would have been a race with incredible obstacles. Back then, they had these races with big obstacles. You'd have to run these long races over obstacles and difficult terrains and all those. He said, I had a race, it had obstacles, and you know what? I've finished the race. Some folks don't even know they're in a race. Folks, you're in a race. You're in a battle. Whether you know it or not, you're on a full-on fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, you know, don't be ignorant. You got to understand that you're in a battle right now. And you need to know that the enemy really does want to take you out. Nothing personal. It's not that he doesn't really like you. It's just you are an image bearer of the very glory of God. And he don't like him very much, so he'd really like to mess with you. And you got to know that you're in a fight, but you've been equipped in every way to be victorious. You've been equipped in every way to run and not grow weary. You've been equipped in every way to finish this course with great strength. He said, I have kept the faith. And the word kept is a word of guard. It's a word that is used of a soldier who is seeing something and it's precious and it's wonderful and he has guarded it. And you see, I have faith. I have kept the faith, the lifestyle that God has desired, what he has done. I have guarded it. I have guarded who I am. I have guarded what God's called me to. I have guarded it as a soldier and I've kept it well. I have kept the faith. And then he says, and the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. So he is with great expectation saying, I am done. I have been poured out. I have finished. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I'm ready now to go in and receive my crown. Are you that confident that you have done everything that God desires you to do? Are you that confident that you're ready to stand before God and say, I finished it all. Every appointment, everything you called for me to do, everything written in the book, I did it, and I'm ready to come and meet my Maker. Paul had that kind of confidence. Paul was that stirred up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at that. I put it in red letters for you. We must all appear. We must all appear. Say all. That means every single one of us are going to stand before the Almighty. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Amen. Say, Lord, bless the reading of his word. But Pastor, we're into grace, right? So it don't matter what I do, because it's what he's done. Because you've said it so many times. I mean, it's not do. It's done. Exactly. How many know that's true? But how many know because of what he has done, I can now do. And how many know that because of what he's done, that I am now empowered and equipped to line up with him? I have a line right to the heart of God, and I can receive from him. I can walk with him. I can have knowledge of what he desires me to do, and I can be doing every single day of my life what he desires for me to do. You know, now I've been broken free of every impediment. I've been broken free of every sin. I've been broken free of every limitation, shame and guilt and condemnation. It's all gone. I can embrace the purposes of God and I can do them. And this is not the judgment sheet where the sheep and the goat are judged. There's two throne judgments. This is not the white throne judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul is talking to believers. Believers, every single believer. Now, we're not going to go to the white throne judgment because we believe in grace. And because we believe in the finished work of the cross, we know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. It can never be blotted out. I am a child of God, and that is established once and for all. And we're all excited about that, aren't we? But now because of that, and because I'm a son, a fully mature son, equipped in every way, I can now fulfill every desire that the Father has. And I can look for things to do. I can please him every day because he has equipped me and enabled me to do that. And every single one of us to live is Christ, to die is gain. To be present in the body, that's good. But when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord, which is a far better thing. Every single one of us is appointed to everyone wants to die. Everyone wants to die and the judgment. We don't get the white throne judgment, but we do all have to appear at this one. And when you get to this one, it's not like, all right, turn on Carl's screen. Ooh, your Aunt Dawn should have thrown you out. You were a dog. I mean, my God. We're not going to see all that. You're not going to see any of that. But you know what? Let's look at the next verse, all right? Let's look at the next verse. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. It says, For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now that means every single one of us come into a relationship with God, and the foundation of each and every one of us is the blood of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. You can't lay another foundation. You can't get there through works or any other thing. It is the cross. It is by his grace alone. That's it. But look what it says. Come on. There's no other foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. And he's talking about that day. He's talking about that day when each and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to say for yourself? Well, I was just so excited about being saved that I just carried on and did what I wanted. Well, that's wonderful, and you had your foundation good. Oh, you mean there's rewards in heaven? There's when we get to heaven for all of eternity, there's going to be some that shine brighter than others? Yes, there really is. How many know that this life is like a blade of grass? It's here and it's gone. How many know that this really, what you're doing right now, is going to echo through eternity? What you choose to do right now echoes through eternity. You know what? I want you to be outstanding, not based on fear, not based on, oh my goodness, you know? Oh boy. I mean, I don't want to be embarrassed when I'm standing there before him. Now, don't be embarrassed. So let's all work hard at being good little Christians. I don't want you to enter into that mindset, but I want you to soberly understand that the scripture does say that, you know what? God has a claim on your life. He saved you so you don't go to a lost eternity, but he also saved you now so that he can live through you. I thought he saved me so I could be selfish and carry on and do my own thing. No, he delivered you from selfishness, and he now wants you to live for him. And trust me, living for him, if you got a mindset that living for God's going to be boring, rotten, and ugly, you are deceived by the devil, and he lied to you and told you that. Because living for God full on, your whole life, giving everything to him, it is the wildest ride and the greatest joy you could ever possess. And you know what? God's desire for each and every one of us is to be crowned with glory and crowned with righteousness. And Paul is saying, I'm going to get there and I'm going to have a crown of righteousness. In Revelation, it says, be careful, let no man take your crown. It doesn't say, don't let a devil take your crown. Don't let God take away your crown. He says, let no man take your crown. You know how a man can take your crown? By doing what you were called to do. You know how a man can take your crown? By lying to you and telling you that it don't matter. Don't let any man take your crown. I'm trying to pastor you today. Say amen. I like the grace message last year better. You're getting kind of, holy cow. I'm feeling pressure, feeling like I got to do stuff. I love the grace message. And if you know the grace message, you'll serve God. If you know the grace message, sin will become obsolete in your life. If you know the grace message with real power, you'll live an upright and godly life in the present age. That's why I love the grace message. That's why most people still don't get it. They still need to know it because grace is a real power to do the things of God. It really is. It really is. So look, but you see, you can build. What are you building? I'm asking you today, what are you building? What are you going to build with this year? What are you going to build with this year? What are you going to do on the foundation that is Christ? What are you going to do in response with gratitude to what he's done for you? Are you going to give him wood, hay, and stubble? Or are you just going to look for precious things, things that are eternal, things that are significant? Are you going to get caught up in the fodder of life and spend time in the mess and the muck? Are you really going to devote yourself to eternal, wonderful, great things? Great things, Pastor, great things. Let me tell you, are you going to spend time in the fodder, in the mess, or the things that don't matter? Are you going to spend more time on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? Or are you going to spend time on things that are eternal and wonderful and great things? That's good. That was good. Great things, Pastor, great things. Oh, that was good. See, I envisioned the sermon ahead of time, and that's what happened. So I wanted to make sure, you know, that's actually what happened. All right, so we got to do that. So look what it says. Hey, so manage, you got to manage your life. You really got to do that. So we're going to do a little exercise right now, and I've done this one before for you, but we're going to do it again. And for 3 weeks, we're going to build on this whole thing. But I want you to take a look at some stuff. Bring me up another screen there. Go ahead. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what should you do first every single day with your whole life? What do you need to do first? Right there is the red ball. The red ball stands for God. He is first. God wants to be first. And it's not because he's uptight. It's not because he has ego issues. God wants to be first. You know why he wants to be first? Because he knows when you put him first, things go better in your life when you put God first. That's why he said, you see, everybody else is chasing after stuff. But I tell you what, if you put me first and you make me the single priority in your life, you know what? The stuff will chase you. What an amazing promise. How many think that's a good way to start the new year? Put God first. Say, he's first in my life, Pastor. All right, so if we're going to put God first, let's look at the next slide. Look at this now. Got to find my stuff here. All right, here it is. How do we put God first? How do I know I'm putting God first? How are you saying that's exactly what I was going to ask? How do you know you're putting God first? All right, here's number one. With your treasure. Say treasure. So this little ball has a T and an R on it. T-R. So that one represents treasure. So the red ball represents, and this ball with the T-R represents treasure. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. How many have an RSP or an investment, or you've invested somewhere and you manage it? You know, the other day I actually went and looked at mine. I did 13.4% last year. I thought that was pretty good. I was like, and I was going, man, I might have been able to do better. But I was excited that I did 13.4%. And I was like, Cheryl, this year I looked at the recap and I achieved 13.4% this year. That was pretty good. I think I might have been able to do more. But you know, I was excited about it. You know why I was excited about it? I was excited about it because that's my money. And I'm invested in that thing, and I was excited. And you know what? If it went down or I'm challenged, I'm emotionally there. I'm like, you know, your money, your finances, the things you treasure, and your heart are connected. So if you're going to put God first, but you don't treasure Him, you put God first and He is not manifest in your life as something you treasure. You say you put God first, but the tenth never happens and offerings are like, good luck. You are deceiving yourself. If you want to be outstanding, if you want to realize all that God has for you, if you want to build on the foundation, precious stones, then you know what? You got to start number one with where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Luke chapter 6, 38, give and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your bosom. In fact, with the measure that you give it out, the same measure it will come back to you. So you know what? It's all about your treasure. I hate it when I come to church and they talk about money. It's not church talking about money. It's not pastor talking about money. It's God Almighty talking about money. It's God Almighty trying to get through to you that I want to bless you in ridiculous ways, but I must be first. And if you put Him first, that means you give Him your treasure, He's going to bless you. All right, go to the next one. Give me the next one. Number two, with your talent. How many know you got some talent? How many got some talent? Talent, so you got talent. Three people have talent. All right. You know, well, the Bible says, look what it says. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Say amen. Amen. Imagine having 25 eyeballs. That would be kind of creepy. Really, eyeballs are a bit creepy, aren't they? Anyways, ears. Imagine if your ear was over here. Anyways, turn around to pay attention. Anyway, but look at what it says. They don't have the same function. But each of us, having then gifts that are differing, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So this ball right here, it's a ball has got a T on it. Where'd it go? Oh, there's. Oh, no. Oh, there it is. A T-A. T-A stands for talent. All right, so how many know you got talent? You want to have an outstanding year, you've got to use your talent. God has given you a gift. He's given you abilities. Many of you might even be working in a place where you're not even talented to be. Some of you may need to make a change to really realize the fullness that God wants in your life. Some of you have been doing this dead-end thing for a long, long time, asking God to bless you in it. You know, got no grace to be there. I don't know why you're there, but you know, God wants you to do something different, and He'd bless your socks off. He's just trying to get you to change your mind. Open up your head a little bit. Let me bless you. There's something I want to do in and through you that's way bigger than what you're thinking of. Because God has given you talent. And you know, when you surrender your talent to God, you're going to walk in a blessed life. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Some of you are looking at me kind of funny. All right. That's all right. I've had funny looks before. All right. Number three. You ready? Number three. With your time. Say time. Time. Time's an amazing thing. You guys gave us some time today. You came together. This time was important to you. You got out early, wiped off your car, shoveled the driveway. You came to church. You're spending time. How many know you're always spending time? You know, time's important. And I got some people, you know, I don't have time for church. Oh, church, what? You got a couple hours Sunday morning and some, that's about all we ever get. But anyways, I mean, you got a lot of time. And you know what? God says, with the time, it says, do you not see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. I'll give you another one, another verse right here. Ephesians 5:11, this out of the Message, says, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. Wake up from your sleep. Watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. You know what? You got time. And you know what? God has given you time. He's put these boundaries on you. But you know, every single one of us has the same hours, the same space of time, the same things. Now, what are you going to do with your time? Are you going to get stuck on Farmville or whatever other crazy things we have out there? I mean, I sometimes, I've managed and oversee some pastors and things like that. And I know sometimes some pastors who are struggling and asking me how can they get some help and this and that and the other thing. But then on Facebook, you know, all of a sudden it pops up. They got another high score on Jewelville or some crazy thing. And I'm like, if you give up the high score on Jewelville, well, you might actually see the church expand or get an idea or something creative out of the glory realm that might help you. But you know what? You're going to have to give up some of the gobbledygook to walk in the fullness that God wants. You know what? Your time is not your own. It's been paid for with a price, and God is the one who deals with your time. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many are still excited? Seven or eight of us. All right. Let's move over here. All right. Bringing God, our time, our talent, our treasures, and all this stuff, going to bring it over here. And some of you are like, oh, I've seen this before, and that's true. All right, so we've got some of that there. And we got some of this over here. All right, you ready? It's 2014 right there. That's it. That's the whole thing right there, 2014. Now you get to decide what you're going to do with it. All right, now 2014. Now here's how many know you got to sleep. Some people sleep more than others, my God. How many know you got to eat? Hallelujah, you got to eat, got to eat. Got to eat, got to eat, got to eat, got to eat. How many know you got to work? Got work to do, got stuff like that going on. So you know what we got? Everybody's got to do that stuff, right? There we go. Sorry, John, Pat, making a bit of a mess here. But all right, how many know we got Facebook friends? Do you know, folks, sometimes it actually shows there how long you're on. Oh, I wasn't on all that time. I walked away, left my computer on. Oh, that's good. Anyways, it's you go look up how much time people spend on computers today. It's staggering. And now, like, I mean, how many of you have been texting and talking to your friends while you've been in service already today? Be honest now. Jesus sees you. It's all going to come clear sooner or later, you know. You'll all stand before the Bema seat of judgment, you know. Yeah, and look at you, texting in church, wasting your time while the pastor was preaching anointed sermons. What? Okay. You'd have paid attention if you were a tither. All right. So, all right. We need a little bit of Facebook. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know you got family? You love family. You want to spend time with friends? How many know you want to go to the beach? You got a vacation? You got stuff you got to do, right? You got to go to the doctor, the dentist, and apparently now I have to go to the veterinarian. Hallelujah. Like I needed a dog. Here's some more dog. Dylan promises he's going to take care of the dog. I'll never have to walk it. Cheryl promises me I won't have to pick up any doo-doo. Praise Jesus. We're going to talk about these other five balls, not next Sunday, but we're going to talk about them two Sundays from now. So that's what these five represent. So we need to get them in there. Those are going to be very, very important for you to realize your dreams, your destiny. But now we know we got our treasures. We're going to use those. We got to get them in there. I know we got our time. We're going to spend our time, and then we got our talent and all of that. And then we've got God. God. How many want God in 2014? We need God. God, get God in there. God, get in there, God. Take the Facebook out. Should we take the Facebook out and make some room for God? How many, come on, sincerely now, eyes closed, you know, every head bowed. Let me see those hands, you know. No, there's things that you've desired to do. There's dreams you have. Year after year, you keep on saying, one of these years I'm going to do it. I've done it. Come on, this year, let's be a good steward of the time that God gives us, right? So let's try this. Let's try this different. How many want to fit God in? You know what? And here's what's amazing is, you know what? You can fit God in. we can fit God in. So, but here's the way. We tried to put God in last, right? You know, I'd go to your blog, Pastor, and I'd participate in the prayer thing, but I don't have time. Well, you know what? Let's try to put some God stuff first. Look, he fits. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. We got God in our life. But you see, you put God first. And then if you're going to put God first, you got to put your treasure. If God's first and you really want to manifest he's first, then your treasure, your talent, and your time is totally committed to God. So look what you got in. You got God, your treasure, your time, and your talent are all in 2014. I'm telling you, Lord, in 2014, you're first, and I'm going to manifest your first because I'm going to serve you with my time, my talent, and my treasure. You're going to be first in everything I do. And then, you know what? I got some other dreams. I got some things I want to realize, and I got to get them in. I want to this year, I want to realize the things you put on my heart. I don't want to go through another year and not have them manifest. So thank you, Lord. They're all in there. It's going to be a year of years like none other. I'm going to see breakthrough. It's going to put me on a pivot that year after year, I'm going to accelerate and I'm going to grow and I'm going to increase. But then you know what? I got to spend time with my family. I got to eat. I got to sleep. I still got to do all that stuff. So, you know, Lord, we're going to fit some of that into, because I know when I put you first, all the rest of it is blessed. It's just awesome. It's all good. And I know you love when I spend time with my family, and you love when I walk the dog. Hallelujah. So, and then, you know, I got to sleep. I got to eat. I got to work. I got to do all that stuff. And so, Lord, I got to put this back in. I got to get it all in there. Who's the caretaker around here? It would be full if I didn't pour the rest out on the floor, but anyways... Good thing Cheryl wasn't here. She'd kill me. But anyways, do you see that? You see that? It's a little lesson. Many have seen it before, and some use it for time management. I just use it for life management. I mean, my goodness. You know, if you really will put God first, don't put him last. Don't get lost. Like it says, you know, you get yourself into these silly things. You're busy with barren pursuits of darkness. When you know what? If you'll really do this, if you'll put God first, and with your treasure, your talent, everything else you put in first, you're going to see an incredible breakthrough this year. Can I get an amen? Now I'm coming to a rapid conclusion right here. Listen to this now. Here's one last slide. I do believe. Now, sometimes we got to make our resolutions. Now I do resolve to do those things. But you know why I can do those things? Because God's already made some incredible resolutions. He's already resolved himself powerfully towards you. Look what he says. He says in 2014, he's going to be with us. John 14:16, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and he will send you another advocate, another comforter. He's going to send you the Holy Ghost and he will never leave you. 2014 can be amazing because you have God with you, inside you, abiding with you, empowering you, and he will never, ever leave you no matter what. God is resolved to be by your side every step of the way. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look what it says. It says he's for us. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And God is for you. Turn to your neighbor, just shout in their left ear. God is for you. He really is. All right. And look at this, Philippians 4:13. It says that God is resolved to empower you. And look what it says, Ephesians 4:13. What does that say? You know what it says. I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with supernatural power and energy. I mean, he's with us. He's for us. He empowers us. Then Philippians 4:19. What's that say? It says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs out of and from his and according to his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. You're lacking nothing. You're provided for in every way. The Lord is my shepherd to guide and protect, to keep and to bless and to enrich and to pour anointing on my head fresh every day. He'll provide for you. Then he'll protect us. I love this little verse. It's a neat little verse. Acts 18:10. He says to Paul, he says, I am with you and no one will attack you or harm you. I am with you and no one will attack you or harm you. You know what? God is with you. Because I'm in him, no work of the devil can touch me. If I abide in him, remember Psalm 91, if you abide in him, fix yourself in him and stay remaining under his tent. It says, no evil will befall you. Come on, he's an amazing God, and he is totally and absolutely committed to you. But folks, we got to put God first. You know what? If we're going to put God first, don't fool yourself. Don't go through another year of self-deceit. If your treasure isn't dedicated to him, if your talent isn't dedicated to him, if you're not watching that your time is dedicated to him, and you don't realize your life, your body, everything you have is not your own, it's been purchased with a price, then you are wasting time, and you're wasting a life. So if we want this to be an outstanding year and we want to be outstanding, this is just the beginning. This is just the start. And we're going to pick it up again next week and then the week after. We're going to put some more practical handles on this. But I want every one of you to be just like my friend Mr. Timmerman there, who is like, I want you to be a, you know, WWW, God's biggest servant. I don't want to be a fan. How many know Jesus doesn't need fans? Amen? He needs people that are all in, people that are fully given to him. And let me say, quite honestly, not to freak you out or get y'all scared, but each one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not a downer, folks. And for Paul, it wasn't a downer. Paul was like, I'm ready. I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I have kept the faith. You know, we were there with my Aunt Dawn, and my Aunt Dawn, I mean, she got sick like, just 2 weeks, she entered into hospital. 2 weeks later, she was gone. I mean, after 5 days, they said, we think we might be able to give you 5 more years. And then a few days later, like, oh my goodness. And then Aunt Dawn just said, you know what? I'm good. I could go on and that would be fine. But quite honestly, I am very, very content with the life I lived. And I am ready to stand before my Lord and Savior. And they said they've never seen such contentment and such dignity of somebody just going on to be with the Lord. And she did. She just went off to be with the Lord. Just went, that's it. I'm good. I was like, man, she was in a hurry to get home. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. What about you? You ready today? Come on, why don't you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry about the rice on the floor. Amen. I should have shook it down a little first. But anyways, hallelujah. Come on. Father, we love you. We bless you. Lord, I just pray right now that each of us would with joy, I mean, with a sober, passionate responsibility, just embrace right now that this is the year of our Lord. This is the year of our Lord. And again, I can look at another year before me. And in that year, you're going to bless me with treasure. And in that year, you have given me talent to express myself and to serve you with and to serve your body with. And Lord, every day you give me that exchange of time. And every day, that day, I want to honor you in that day. I want to be present in that day. I want to be present under the hand of God. And I want your kingdom to be manifest in my life. I want to be outstanding. I want to be marked. I want to be someone who demonstrates that God is good. He's all over my life. And I want people to scream out, take me to your leader. Because you are such a good God. We love you. Lord, we dedicate as a fellowship this year ahead of us. We dedicate it to you. I believe it's a year of incredible advance. And so I enter this year soberly, knowing that you've said good things about this year. And because you've said that, I want to honor what you've said. And I want to be equal to it. I want to be ready for it. I want to give myself fully to it. I don't want to say, hey, okay, go ahead, big fella, whatever. I want to say, what's my role? What do you want me to do? I'm here. I'm standing at attention, Father. Lead me, guide me, direct me, I pray. Father, for everyone here, I thank you. I'm so blessed. I'm so honored to serve this fellowship. The people here are brilliant. They're just brilliant, everyone. I adore them. Father, I want them each to realize everything you have for them. I want, as Paul said, I want to present each and every one of you perfect in Christ. And God, I have that passion, and I want to see every single one. I want to see a year where, Lord, I can say, look, I have done everything, Father, to equip and to challenge this fellowship. And Lord, I want to present them to you, this house right now. We present ourselves to you and say, let it be a year of years. Let it be a year of breakthrough. Let it be a year of demonstration. Let it be a year where we see you and your hand greater than we've ever known before. Let us on purpose, intentionally, give ourselves to you afresh and anew right now. Dedicate this year to you. In Jesus' name. Now just the heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I just want to give you one more chance here, because maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You say, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. I mean, I don't even know how to put God first. I don't know what that's about, but I do want God. I want to be right with Him. I want to know Him. I want to be able to, you know, pass, you know, the judgment seat, the white judgment seat. I want to pass that seat of the sheep and the goats. I want to know Jesus. And then I want to position myself for use in the hand of a wonderful God. So maybe you don't know Him. I don't know Jesus. I'm not sure what that means. Or if I do, I don't know. I'm just not sure. I don't have the confidence that Paul had when he said, I am ready to go into the presence of my God. Maybe you aren't ready. Maybe if you went to be with the Lord right now and you stood there, because it says every person will stand before Him. You just don't have that confidence to stand before Him right now. You don't have it, but you want to have it. I tell you, you can have it today. We can pray for you. If you don't know Him, but you want to have that kind of confidence, I'm going to give you a chance right now. All right? Are you ready? Right now. All you have to do is put up your hand really high. So I'm going to ask you right now. Right now. One, two, three. Boom. Just put up your hand really, really high. Really high. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift up your hand really high. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Right now, I tell you, you can, with confidence, you can be like my Aunt Dawn, I'm ready to go. You can be like the Apostle Paul, my time of departure has come. Can we pray with those folks right now? You ready to pray with me? Everybody's going to pray. You ready? And you just pray, open your mouth and fill it up wide. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive You right now as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank You for dying for me, and I receive Your grace in Jesus' name. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for bringing me into the Father's house, into the family of God. I am saved, I'm born again, and I'm forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, that was good right there. So look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I want to tell you something right now. You're a child of God. Can never be taken from you. You can mark it down in the calendar. This day in January, once and for all, you are made right with Jesus Christ. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You belong in the family. No fear. You can with confidence say, I'm ready to meet my Maker. But I want you to know you're forgiven. You're loved. He has incredible confidence in you. He's for you. You're totally free. Now, I mean, unwrap all the rest of it. Come, don't just make a decision for Jesus. Come and learn and grow and be encouraged in all that He has for you. All right, tell somebody you accepted Jesus today. So we don't want to just make decisions. We want to see people made disciples and followers of Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to bless you right now. We've got our prayer team are coming up right now. They're on their way. They're coming up. How many know it's good to be able to go to the altar anytime? It's good to be able to go to people who know how to pray and know how to hear from God, and people who can bring you a word. They can pray for you and minister to you. It's good to have anointed hands and anointed heads and hearts that can speak a word in season into your heart and your life. So these folks are here. They're ready to minister to you, ready to pray for you. The altars are wide open. Who's dedicated their life fresh today? Say, I'm serving Jesus full on in 2014. Three people. That's awesome. We're going to give her, Lord. We're going to give her. We're going to give her. Well, Father, I bless this house. Thank You for them. Thank You for this year. Thank You for a wonderful year before us. Thank You. May our love expand. May it explode. May the sweetness of Your presence fill this place. May the fragrance of our love for one another be so intoxicating that people walk in and they're just overwhelmed by Your presence and Your joy and Your love. May the fullness of healing be so demonstrated. May people be healed. May tumors fall off at the door this year. People walk through and boom, they're just healed crossing the threshold. It's Your house. It's full of Your presence, Lord. Father, bless these folks right now. Let the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with each and every one now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon.